You're listening to the What's Happening podcast with Gary Watts.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here with Missy Forbes, the director, executive director of the Four C's in Johnson County, right?
Yep.
So, Missy, what's Four C's stand for?
It stands for Community Coordinated Child Care.
Right. And which, you said child care.
Mm-hmm, oh, yeah. Wow. So it doesn't mean a whole lot, and it's kind of confusing. So In 1972, a group of people in Johnson County came together to address the lack of quality, affordable child care in Johnson County. And since then, we've been trying to figure that out, and the needle has moved pretty slowly. But I think the conversation is ripe to talk about child care and lack of child care, lack of affordable child care and things like that. As you know, we've kind of discussed briefly, there are people in your immediate circle that are, you know, struggle to find child care. So you add other barriers like transportation, affordability, things like that. It becomes increasingly harder to find child care. So that's one of the parts of the job that I do as far as advocacy goes.
How did it – who started it in 72?
There were just a group of people in Iowa City. The League of Women Voters was involved, and I believe the United Way. There, 4Cs in the 70s was a national movement. So we're not affiliated with any national organizations, but it started around the same time. I believe there was a grant that was received through a national grant to kind of explore different options and things like that. So, but again, you know, it's something that we're still trying to address today, which I think is pretty incredible.
So tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and then how'd you get interested in the 4Cs? How'd you become executive director?
Sure. So I'm from Iowa City. I was born and raised here. And I, you know, grew up with the University of Iowa in my backyard. So I never left, but, you know, having the university in your backyard doesn't mean you're going to go there immediately. So back and forth in and out of school and stuff like that. I got married and it was really important for me to stay home with my kids. So I stayed home primarily when my children were little. And then I kind of had, had started full-time work as I got older and just wanted to do more for my community and kind of really feel like I was making an impact here. And so I went back to school in my 40s to finish my history degree and didn't really think that being 40 plus years old, having a bachelor's in history was going to get me far. So I got a certificate in fundraising and philanthropy. And that led me on to a career in fundraising and development and then ultimately to my job at 4Cs.
And you have children.
Right? Mm-hmm. I have three kids.
So you've dealt with child care, right? Daycare.
I stayed home, so I didn't stay have home. Like there wasn't a big scramble to like find child care when I was pregnant and things like that. But we did as my daughter, who's now 18, got older and I got back into the workforce, it was definitely an expense that was a struggle for my family to pay for, even, you know, with two incomes and that thing. So we were able to piece together care, but, you know, that can be hard for some families. So
I read that 73% of the folks that I think maybe have their children at 4Cs, or maybe it's just 73% in general, kids under six work.
Yeah, that's a statistic in Johnson County.
In Johnson County.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So a majority of people work and have children and need daycare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So where do they get daycare?
Well, it's hard to find, especially infant care. So there are a lot of people that once they find out they're pregnant, the first people that know about it are child care centers.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Especially if you're looking at affordability or if you're on a state assistance to pay for childcare, there are a lot of programs that don't take that. So we have a lot of working families in the state of Iowa and in Johnson County. And so it's a problem that we try to address in a lot of different ways.
Why wouldn't they take the aid? Why wouldn't daycare take the aid?
The state pay does not pay the same –
they pay
fair
less.
Market value, yeah.
Oh.
So if you're looking at a tuition rate of anywhere from $1,000 to $1,300 a month, state aid would pay between $600 to $800 of that. So it's a losing market to do that.
What's it cost for an infant? Not at Four Seas, just generally.
Generally, the I would say that range, 1,000 to 1,300 would be about right.
And in your group, it's going to be a lot less, right? Because you take the subsidy.
Yeah. So our at our child care center, Home Ties, we our tuition is $1,000. And that's not a that's from birth to 4 years. A lot of programs are 5 years. A lot of programs will have, as the kids get older, the tuition lessens. But we – so for infant care at our center, it's $1,000. Other centers pay upwards of or charge $1,200, $1,300,
$1,400. $1,000, is that 8 to 5 every day, 5 days a week?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So – and how many children do you have, like the infants right now?
We are – we have 8 children in our program – or 8 infants in our program. Infants. We're licensed for 36 in our small center.
So tell me about the license. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it. I think in the old days, it was either the grandparents or a neighbor take care of the babies or some relative or, you mm-hmm. know, you just kind of
– Yep.
You didn't really have, like, organized daycare. But it's – isn't it difficult to be licensed and to be – actively there, working in daycare right now?
Yeah, there are a lot of rules and regulations that go into being licensed or being a registered home provider. You know, obviously, we want children to be safe. And, you know, so a lot of all of those rules and regulations were tied to are tied to safety and things like that. But it does become it can become prohibitive for people to do either in-home care or to become a licensed center. There's a lot that goes into it. And then there are a lot of pre-qualifications that go into becoming a part of the child care workforce as well. And there's a lot of pre-service training that is involved with that too. So that's some of the work that we do with people that are interested in becoming child care providers, in-home providers. We can help them with their pre-service training. And especially we work really closely with the refugee and immigrant population. And so helping them go through that pre-service training with translation and just additional handholding to get them so that they can open their own business is some of the work that we do.
So for not only the in the Four Seas, not only do you take care of kids, you also train providers to be able to work in daycare.
Yeah, I like to call that the indirect service that we do. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty cool because, yeah. I mean, I don't know where the folks come from that work with kids. So
yes.
I know there's a shortage of them.
Yeah, there certainly is. So that's one of the things that we want to do is also addressing support of the child care workforce in any way that we can and also promote careers and the rewarding careers that are in early childhood education. So we have started to have a more robust conversation with high school and junior high students about career fields in early childhood education. I feel like we should be talking about being teachers of children under the age of 5 the same way we talk about being K through 12 teachers or, you know, any other career. We need to start talking about that as early as we do any other career.
So if you have an infant, and let's go infant to 5, what do you try to teach him? Tell me about your curriculum or how – I don't know much about small children anymore. It's been a long time.
Right. When you get out of it, you kind of forget.
What is it you're trying to accomplish? Give me some of the goals.
Well, we want all kids to be ready for school on day one in kindergarten. So we believe that play is learning. And so there's just a lot of play that goes into it. We, our teachers at our particular center, do a lot of training just around what is kindergarten readiness. But a lot of it too isn't just about learning academics and ABCs and 1-2-3s and colors and all that. It's about being a good friend. It's about socialization and things like that. So there's a lot more that goes into being kindergarten ready. And that's a very broad term because really being kindergarten ready in the state of Iowa is being 5 years old. So, but you know, there's a lot that goes into the success of a student before they turn 5.
So are they painting? Are they – they don't read yet? I mean, I don't know what –
Yeah, so we do a lot of outdoor play and then build any of our activities that we do, whether it's indoor play, outdoor play, whatever. We just embed early literacy, early math, any sort of STEM or STEAM activities that kind of go into that. Again, socialization is huge. So, you know, being a good friend, learning how to share, you know, those sorts mm-hmm. of things are all embedded in that becoming a good student. Good nutrition is also a component of the work that we do because we believe brain growth is most rapid in the 0 to 3, 0 to 5 age range. And so, you know, having a healthy diet promotes healthy brain growth too. So,
so during the day you feed the kids, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. And then can adults come and be fed too?
Not at our program.
Not at yours.
Yeah.
Okay. So you feed the kids, and so nutrition's mm-hmm. really important, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Do you also have a service where if you're in a crisis as a family, you can drop the kids off and take care of them?
So we have a crisis child care is a program that we have that's funded by Johnson County. And that is for any parent that or any family that needs immediate child care for a variety of different reasons. One of the easiest things to describe is if there's a single parent that needs emergency surgery and they've got children that need to be cared for, right. and they are not going to be able to have somebody get to take care of the kids for a couple of days. Right. We've got immediate care for that should that be an issue. So we work with registered in-home providers and licensed centers to take care of situations like that.
Is that all night too?
Yep. So it's a 24/7 program. Mm. There are some families that don't need that overnight care, or, you know, I mean, we don't get a call. We sometimes get calls in the middle of the night on the weekend, but, you know, for those daytime calls or when care is just needed during the day, if there's room, we'll have them at our center, or there are other centers that we work with that are.
And where's your center? Where's your daycare center?
It's at? Located in the First Mennonite Church in Iowa City off of Myrtle
okay. Avenue.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a level there.
Yeah. We've got a great partnership there with them. We all of the rent and the utilities and things like that are all in kind. And so we're able to operate our program there without having to worry about some of those overhead expenses.
Plenty of parking, just wheel in there, and it's good access to downtown and everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what else can you tell me about? Give me some ideas of, obviously, when you talk about daycare, it's a hot topic for everyone. And does that enter in at a low birth rate? I mean, it seems like in a lot of the colleges, you know, our enrollments are down. A lot of areas, and I know childbirth rates are seem to be down.
So that's not my area of expertise, but I would say that the decision to have one or even two more children is there are families that make decisions about expanding their family based on affordability of childcare. In Johnson County, a family with a median income and two children, both in childcare settings, pays more in tuition for their early childhood experiences than a student at the University of Iowa.
So it'd be if your median income is what, that $60,000 a year, $50,000?
It might be a little bit more than that, but
and then it'd be $2,000 a month for two children.
More than that, probably.
More than that.
Yeah. So.
Wow. So they can work, and then 2,000, and then
time
you net your income out, that's getting. I can see where that's a hard decision for folks.
Yeah, and really that's, is. I mean, imagine someone who has, you know, is making $15 or less dollars an hour.
Yeah.
You know, that's unaffordable.
Yeah. So it's a great service that you provide. So tell us some more about the classes you have. I know you have things in surrounding communities, and then maybe talk about your funding sources.
So we work primarily in Johnson County, and we are here. The bulk of the work that we do is just to support the child care workforce. So we can offer training and education. We can support. We do a lot of work with in-home providers, just making sure that their programs are viable and can stay in business. So while we talk a lot about the aspect of their academic environments, we also really want to promote and drive home the fact that these are primarily women-owned businesses, and we want them to stay in the business of child care. So anything that we can do to support that part of the work is what we do. We get a lot of funding from the government, so federal, state, and local funds, but we also take private donations. We're a 501c3, so that's what we do for our funding.
So you got United Way, you got Johnson County Community Foundation, right?
Yep.
All the cities, Coralville, Iowa City,
North Liberty,
Tiffin.
Yeah, and then the county, and the county is a huge support of the work that we do as well.
What's your budget?
We're over $1 million.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. So how many people do you think of ladies that are at home, women at home with doing daycare, do you help a year? help them with what their operation?
We have a program called Starting Strong, and that is the people that we work with in that group work primarily with low-income children, and there are a lot of different components to that group. They're about between 20 to 30, roughly, in that group. In our food program that we run, which is a nutrition program, there are 70 providers total in that group. There's a little bit of overlap in that, but and then the families that we care for at Home Ties kind of have a revolving door over there with that program. So we're licensed for 36, but there are some families that transition out of that program pretty regularly. And so we care for 90 children on average in a year. So, you know, we are impacting directly about 150 people in any given to 200 people any given year. But the children that we're impacting and touching with the work that we do for the childcare workforce is exponentially larger than that.
Tell us about your staff. How many people work at?
So I have a small admin team of six people. So we've got 2.5 people that are working with the childcare workforce directly in our education and training and things like that. We've got a couple of people working in the food program, again, that nutritional component. And then I've got a staff of between 20 and 30 full and part-time people at our childcare center.
Wow, that's a pretty big staff. That's quite a budget. I wouldn't imagine it'd be that much. So,
We've got a lot. We had a lot of funding after the, for the American Rescue Plan Act dollars to implement some and expand some of the programming that we have. So, so I think that's, part of some of those projects that we're working on currently that won't continue after the ARPA money is done.
So, how do folks that need your services find you? How do they know about it? How does the word get out?
So in the refugee and immigrant population, we found that word of mouth is really how we engage with other individuals that are interested in becoming childcare providers. We have a really great collaboration and relationship with DVIP Shelter House and the United Action for Youth with their parents that utilize Home Ties. They've got they're always at the top of the waiting list. Those clients are to utilize our services because we've had that's what where our county and state funding comes from for Home Ties, and so that's where those families would hear about our childcare center. And again, we've been around for over 50 years, so there are people that know about us and have used us when we were a referral service, which we don't do that anymore. But so there are people that know about us that have known about us for years, and there are other people that we're just now trying to, really engage with a broader audience. But that's part of the advocacy work that I do, and that's of so much importance to me, because childcare is the foundation upon which all other industry relies. Mm-hmm. And so, engaging all different audiences is sort of the work that drives my work.
Right. So it's really interesting. I just never thought of it that way. And then the referral, do you need to grow? I mean, do you need a larger facility? Do you need, can you double your size? There's such a need for daycare. I'm just wondering how you look at that.
Home Ties is landlocked where we are. We, we can't grow any bigger. We're in the confines of the church. We are looking at expanding our childcare services, definitely, because we know there's a need, and we know the program that we offer is an amazing program, and replicating that is something that we talk about a lot.
Is it something, if you were a young lady and you were looking to start a business, is it something to look into childcare, daycare, or however you look at that?
I would definitely encourage that, especially if you want to look at it from a business point of view. It's a great way to start your own business. We have a really good collaboration with Childcare Resource and Referral so that we can really help support individuals who are interested in becoming childcare providers. And that's really what we would love to see. I think the elevation of the workforce is really important too. Childcare workers in centers are the second lowest paid profession in the state. So we've got to change that. And we're doing some great work in Johnson County around that. But we need to do a better job as a whole so that if the work is attractive and someone wants to do it, that they're able to make a living wage doing that.
What is the pay scale?
It is $12 to $13, $14 an hour. There are some programs that a couple of years ago weren't paying the Johnson County minimum wage, which is $11.56. So, you know, we're trying to do better about that. But the problem is it's hard enough when childcare is so expensive. If a center wants to increase their pay, passing that savings on to or that the expense onto parents is it just isn't going to work. People are going to take their kids elsewhere or just leave the workforce. So, you know, it's like if you think about like Target or Walmart can pay their employees $15 or more dollars an hour. Mm-hmm. They can pass that cost onto the consumers as a part of the things that they're buying. And a childcare center just can't do that. So a couple of years ago, the Child Care Solutions Coalition, which I'm a part of, came together. We wanted to address just some of the concerns and the needs and what we were seeing that were barriers to work and childcare and things like that. And the county and the city came together and pooled some of their American Rescue Plan Act dollars to roll out a wage enhancement program. And so qualified staff at qualified centers get $2 an hour more on top of their salary. So it's not a bonus. So on their paycheck, they'll see if they're making $11.56 at base, the county and the city have pooled their resources to get $2 more an hour on their hourly salary. So that's a program that we currently have funding for the next 3 years. So the other part of that work is asking the business community to also pool their resources in the form of pledges over the course of a few more years to keep that program going until we can really so that we can sustain the wage enhancement program, but also collect data and be able to find a different way to fund early childhood teachers and programs so that people that work in that field can make a living wage and so that parents can afford it. So we've got a lot of work to do, but I think the wage enhancement program in Johnson County is a really good example of how we can start supporting that workforce.
So the $1,000 a month, how much is wages? How much do you figure in overhead for wages?
I would say in my program specifically, that is the most expensive thing is payroll.
90%, 80%?
I'd say about between 70 and 80%.
Really? That's how much you have. So if you, it's just, and then what type of, do you need a degree to be a childcare worker? Anybody can do it?
You're 18 years old, and then the pre-service training that I talked about. So there are some things that you've got to do before you can, not before you can work in a center, but you've got a couple of months to get that training.
And that's the training that you have to have a prerequisite for the state?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't be in a daycare. How long is that?
It's three classes in CPR and first aid.
Okay. And then I'm sure there's pretty good background checks, right?
Mm-hmm.
People that work for you.
Yep.
And that sort.
Yeah.
So, well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, I didn't realize the wages were that low for folks. So I can see where you got to attract people. You got to need to pay them more.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like a mini school teacher, mm-hmm. aren't you?
I mean, a school teacher. Yeah, I mean, that's what we call our staff at
you know, in the critical years, which mm-hmm. is important, yep. and folks are working. So, what a necessary part of the society you are, and with our most precious commodity, your children. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, what other things do you have for me this morning? What other things that we talked about funding, right? You mm-hmm. have classes all over. What do you need help with? Do you need volunteers? Do you need I saw on the website, like, you need to collect with diapers and you need mm-hmm. supplies. What can you tell the public? Obviously, you need funding. You need money.
Yeah.
But what else can you tell the public that might be helpful to your group?
I think that the most important thing to tell the public is just the – oh, there's so much. right. Where do I begin? No, I think that just – elevation of the childcare workforce is one of the most like advocacy on behalf of the childcare workforce, I think, is really the most important thing. And recognizing that even though you think it doesn't impact you, it does impact you. One of my colleagues talked about how her father lives in Western Iowa. And, you know, he was a grandparent, didn't think childcare affected him at all. He was on the city council and they were trying to entice a business to develop there. And the business pulled out because there was not enough childcare. Mm-hmm. And so even though you think childcare lack thereof doesn't impact you, it does inadvertently. And again, it goes back to I believe that childcare is the foundation upon which all other industry relies. And so when, you know, of course we need volunteers and of course we need money and of course we need things, you know, to keep our programs afloat. But I think one of the most important things is really doing research about how can you help the childcare industry stay afloat, because we all need it.
So I never thought about it. A lot of times in our world, they talk about housing costs and affordable housing when they're looking to like place a plant here or industry. Mm-hmm. And the daycare is just as important.
Yep.
Or one of the most important factors.
Yep.
So
housing and childcare, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, those are two strong issues. And
yeah.
And I'm sure the cities and people recruiting people into the area really, really need that. Mm-hmm. Are the hospitals doing anything? Are the school districts, do they have preschool things? What's everybody else doing to try to help this? Because it's obviously an urgent need or definitely.
Yeah. So the school district in Iowa City, I believe, is rolling out a pre-K program. I don't know a lot about that just because I haven't been involved in those kinds of conversations. But we have a really good relationship, and the University of Iowa is one of our funders at 4Cs. And so I have a really close collaboration with someone in the HR department. And so we do talk a lot about what support 4Cs can offer to, you know, those lower wage earners that are working overnights and weekends and things like that. So we don't, again, directly support that staff, but we've got conversations going about how we can support childcare workforce so that those employees that need to get to work still have work. Things like that, and also students as well.
So if you volunteer, what do? You're not going to just come in and be with the kids, right?
We can. We've had volunteer groups come over to Home Ties and do crafts and read and things like that too. We've got a great outdoor space and we love gardens. And so, you know, people can come out and garden. So it's definitely worth shooting me an email so that we can get something lined up.
What about pets? You bring your dog over and the kids can play with the dog?
I don't know that we've had anything like that, but I'm sure those kids would really dig it.
Yeah, I mean, comfort dogs are just fun to
– yeah.
I mean, I don't know if kids have seen dogs, and you never know.
Yeah.
This might be an idea.
So. Yeah.
What else do you have for me? I mean, child care is a hot topic. Mm-hmm. I hear about it all the time, especially with the grandkids.
Yep.
How difficult it is, and you're right, when you become pregnant and the first thing you're looking for is daycare, and you get in line. Some of the waiting lists I've heard is over a year or more.
Yeah.
And it's just something I'm not really in that right now at my age, but I was back in the day. But so what else can you tell us about anything you want to get out to the public? Anything else you'd like to talk about?
I think that a lot of stuff is tied to legislation. Mm. So really like looking at the issues and writing your legislators. We have really great legislators in Johnson County who understand it, but you know, they're not the only ones that are voting on the laws and things like that. So just writing collectively those who maybe aren't interested in wage increases or expanding funding for childcare. You know, those are the calls to make and the letters to write.
Just try to receive more funding for it, right?
Yeah.
In the state.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to cover? This has been interesting. I mean, I wasn't aware of 4Cs until I was, you know, told to give you a call.
Yeah.
And so this has been great. Anything else you'd like to tell the public here this morning?
Anything that you can do to support the childcare workforce. If you have kids in daycare, make sure you're taking those teachers' treats and gifts because they work hard. It is hard work too.
Another precious commodity is the teachers and people take care of kids, right?
Yeah.
So, and do you have an annual fundraiser at all? Do you have like a golf tournament? Everybody has a golf tournament. Is there anything you guys do specific to the 4Cs to raise money?
So we haven't really hit on that yet. I have a great board of directors that is very gung-ho, and we had a Clinking for a Cause event last August at Urban Acres Real Estate, actually. And that was really fun. And it was really just more about an awareness kind of campaign. We are anticipating doing something similar to that in August of 2024 that may look a little bit different and may be more of a fundraiser than it was. So stay tuned.
Good. Well, Missy, this has been wonderful. I'm glad you could come in and share some thoughts. And for everybody that's listening to us today, get out there and support your daycares, try to help, maybe volunteer, and then talk about wages with your legislators. And we need the help. And like you said, it helps the whole community. That's the start. The basic start is children. And it's just a great thing that we have a need for. So get out and support it. Missy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's great. Thank you.